This is And I Know Peace, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic, written by the bibliophile Rises, who has orphaned this work, and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Padme Amidala, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, with additional tags for cute. Everyone is a little sassy. Padme Amidala is awesome. I needed cute Obi-Wan Amidala feels, so I wrote this. In case that isn't clear in the work, Padme is pregnant, Padme is a badass, they're all bonded through the Force. Summary. Some fluffy Obi-Wan Amidala, featuring a mildly Force-sensitive Padme with an affinity for explosives. Anakin as a ridiculous human being who is basically a cat. And a sassy Obi-Wan. When Padme wakes up, it is to one of Obi-Wan's hands tangled gently in her hair, his even breath marking a steady and comforting rhythm. His other arm, like one of Anakin's, is draped gently over her swelling abdomen, where, Padme checks reflexively, two glowing beacons of indescribable warmth shine in the Force. Laying there with Anakin sprawled impossibly and bonelessly over three quarters of the bed, while feeling the rise and fall of Obi-Wan's chest, is indescribably comforting. A feeling of safety and security are almost palpable around her, and as tension she hadn't even noticed she was carrying drains away, she realizes that she hasn't felt this relaxed since... Beltora 4? Anakin asks. She doesn't start, but she is a little startled. She thought he was still asleep. Apparently he wasn't, and also apparently her shields had slipped. His voice burrs a little deeper as he continues to speak, though it retains a hint of drowsy slowness. That was fun, he says, and she can feel him smirking against her hair. Especially the part where we found that working luxury fresher in that abandoned hotel the Resistance was going to use as a base. She says archly. And then the part where we figured out that the fresher had been rigged with explosives? That was most fun. She almost wishes she was being facetious about the explosives being fun. And she is a little. But she's really not. Anakin may be a genius mechanic, but, as they've found out over the past 6 months, Padme has an odd affinity with explosives. Obi-Wan jokes sometimes that if being a politician doesn't work out after they defeat the Empire, she could always make a living as a mercenary. Obi-Wan's hand in her hair stirs, and she feels him huff out an amused breath against her forehead. Yes. He says dryly. That was very fun, especially when the Mandalorian bounty hunters showed up. He pauses for dramatic effect. As you and Anakin were disarming the explosives, while our lightsabers and our clothes were locked in the outer room. Padme smirks and fake gasps for emphasis. Oh! She says. But you forgot the best part, Obi-Wan, darling. The hand in her hair abruptly stills. He says delicately. I don't believe that I recall anything past that moment. You know, I suspect a concussion. But you were so brave, Obi-Wan, Anakin says from behind her, in a tone ripe with conviction and emotion. It is truly you, not me, that deserves to be called the hero with no fear. To face down 5 Mandalorian bounty hunters and send them packing with only the power of a single glare? Padme bites her lip to keep from laughing. Obi-Wan, whose face is only inches away from hers, notices, of course, and his grin returns. Yes. He says solemnly. I was very brave, wasn't I? But really, he says, a mischievous glint illuminating his eyes. I could be nothing less than brave in the face of such danger to my darling wife and my equally darling husband. He takes Padme's hand and kisses it reverently, slowly, then does the same to Anakin.
"My love for you both," Obi-Wan says, with conviction worthy of a daytime holodrama, "is too deep."
He pauses, drops his head, and lifts it up with traces of tears glimmering in the corners of his eyes.
"Too pure. Too true. I could no more have refrained from facing those vile men on both of your behalves than could the sun of this planet have refrained from rising in the north."
Padme can no longer hold in her laughter. It begins as a small huff of air that she tries desperately to suppress, because she really, really wants to hear Obi-Wan finish his flowery avowal of undying love. But when Anakin finally succumbs to laughter, she soon follows. She laughs until she cries a little, and then she laughs some more. Obi-Wan, when she recovers enough to look at him without bursting into another fit of laughter, gives her a mock-affronted glare. Then his expression softens into a smile. A little careworn, perhaps, but no less true for it. They have devoted their lives to the Resistance, and while moments of calm and safety like these are not uncommon, it is far more common to find varying combinations of the three of them on risky missions or sensitive negotiations. So they know to treasure this time while they can.
"Ridiculously flowery expressions aside," Obi-Wan says,
leaning in to kiss Padme, then Anakin, then the soft curve of Padme's stomach.
"I love you. Both of you."
He glances down at Padme's stomach and says,
"I take that back. All of you. Always and forever."
And as Padme leans into his embrace and feels Anakin do the same, she knows peace.
The end.
Reader's notes. This pothic was recorded for Melancholy Morningstar as part of ITPE 2020. You asked for Obi-Wan, Anakin, Padme prequels fic, and this is actually, I guess, prequels verging on original trilogy fic. I'm assuming this is a universe where A, the Empire rose slightly earlier because Padme is still pregnant, and B, maybe Dooku didn't die in the ship crash on Coruscant at the end of everything as the world fell apart. Maybe Dooku is still the Emperor's right-hand man in this universe, and Anakin never actually falls to the dark side. Actually, I really like that idea. If Anakin doesn't kill Dooku, Dooku gets taken into custody. Dooku eventually gets out of custody, and while slashing his way through the Jedi temple, so obviously Jedi still semi-die, that's when Palpatine is like, "Oh, we're gonna do our hostile takeover now," and that's how things get triggered, and Padme and Anakin and Obi-Wan have time to get off planet together to raise their babies on the run, but also for all of Padme's Rolodex of everyone in the delegation of 2000 to be still alive in time to form the rebellion. I really like this universe. I've just built it up some more, and I love this exchange here. Maybe it's some minor force sensitivity that's sort of like a feedback loop from Luke and Leia to let Padme interact with them, or maybe she's just mildly force sensitive, and that's what makes her as good at interacting with people and swaying them and being persuasive and finding that right moment to be the lever to change history, but not quite enough to be taken in by the temple. I think this is a great universe, and I'm really glad that the Bibliophy Rises orphaned this work so that it didn't get lost and so that I could record it. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.